What is up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to the first episode of The Controversial Christian. My name is Tanis. I don't really want to talk much about me, as we will dive into more about me in later episodes, but I will tell you that I am a youth pastor. I am a father, a husband. I have four beautiful kids, and I love the Lord. And what do I mean by that? I don't mean that I love Him on Sundays and sometimes Wednesdays, but every minute, every second, every hour, every day, I love the Lord. And I just want my life to glorify Him and show His love and mercy and joy to those around me. And that's my prayer. That's all I hope for. So enough about me. That's who I am. Now, I know y'all guys have seen the title, Do You Mind? You're probably thinking, hey, what does that even mean, right? What are you talking about, a kingdom mindset and a worldly mindset? What do you mean? Well, I'm glad you asked, because we are going to get into it. Now, let me start with a question, guys. How many of y'all have stuck to your New Year's resolutions? I'm not raising my hand, because there are some that I had that I did not stick to, but then I feel the important ones I have stuck to, like, I want to get healthy. I want to be healthier than I was. And, you know, there's always a risk of health issues, and so I don't want that for me. I don't want that for my family. So I knew that I, as the head of the household, need to step up and be the example and set the example. So I did, and it's been a lot of fun. It's been hard. It's been frustrating at times, but I would not change it for the world. And the cool thing is in the midst of the struggle, of the uncomfortableness, of the newness, the Lord has met me. And He will do the same for you no matter where you're at. So if you did start a New Year's resolution and you quit and you know it's something you need to do, man, get back at it. All right? The Lord's got you. Just lean in Him, right? But I want to ask you, what New Year's resolutions did you have? Let's go over a few of the popular ones, right? So health is a popular one, right? We say, that's it. I'm going to lose 20 pounds this year. I'm going to get abs. I'm going to eat healthy. I'm going to do all this. And then usually by the second week, you're like, screw this. I want a cheeseburger. I'll just start again tomorrow. And then it's always tomorrow, 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 until there are no more tomorrows left in the year. And it is now the other year. So we'll start again in this cycle of defeat. That's what it is, right? Cycle of defeat. And who wants to do that, man? Who loves to do that? So what happens is we end up not making resolutions, right? So we're talking about health. So what are some things that will help you reach those goals, though? And those are kind of the things I want to talk about today. Not just things that help you reach goals, but things that need to change, that need to shift, right? And it's not just for the physical, but this is also for the spiritual. And we're going to get into that, but let's touch on this real quick. So your health, right? Your health. First of all, you got to make a change with your eating habits, right? Listen, I can't eat half a pint, we'll say half a pint, of Moose Tracks ice cream and expect to lose 20 pounds. It's just not going to happen, right? You got to make a routine to work out and be active. You have to be proactive about being active. You have to make the changes in your schedule, make the changes in your thought processes, your minds. And that's what my next point is you got to start thinking differently about health. All right, everything must first start with a mindset change. All right, in order for you to think differently about your eating habits, you have to change your mind about it. In order for you to make a routine, to work out, to be active, you have to change your mind about your current routine and be honest with yourself on what needs to change. So let's talk about finances, right? Who made a New Year's resolution to save more, put more away, pay things off, right? I know that we did, and we have been. And man, it's been amazing just seeing how the Lord has blessed us and has honored us in honoring Him. You know, I want to pause here real quick. This is, I am a pastor, so I feel that this definitely needs to be talked about. But listen, if you're not tithing, start tithing. Why does the Lord need my money? The Lord doesn't need your money. It is honoring Him, right, with your first fruits. And I know that some will argue that, well, back in the day, you know, they brought the vegetables, the garden, you know, the fruits, the lambs, all that. Well, here's the thing is we don't sacrifice bulls anymore. All right, we don't have to do that. Thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for coming and dying on the cross and being the ultimate sacrifice for us. We no longer do that. You know, it was the fruit of your labor. And what is the fruit of your labor now? It is finances. It is money, right? So tithe 10% of your income, right? It's just 10%, guys. You can honor God with 10%. How are you honoring him with anything else? Such a small amount, right? And so that does, let me just go ahead and tell you, as a pastor's perspective, that goes into the church. That doesn't go into the minister's pockets. That doesn't go into the leader's pockets, the helpers. It goes into the church. Why? Well, because you use electricity at church, right? That's a bill that has to be paid. All right? Y'all, we have a food bank and clothing closet, you know. That's things that have to be funded. And we do take donations, but hey, tithe is a donation in a sense. So, you know, that goes towards that. It goes towards having things for people, handouts and stuff like that. Well, you can just do digital. Cool. Well, guess what? That costs. It costs. So when you tithe your 10%, guys, stop thinking of it as, well, God doesn't need my money. It's not that. You're being honorable and you're honoring him and giving your 10%, guys. It's just 10%. And then you go above and beyond that and it's just more, right? Not only that, but think of it this way as well. And I'm sorry, I know I've probably lost a lot of y'all by now, but if you're hung out this far, I promise it's going to get better, okay? But I just feel like I need to share this with you guys. So when you go above and beyond, guys, you're planting seeds. That's what it is. You're planting a seed, right? So, and that seed has to be planted to grow. Now, you plant a seed, it doesn't grow automatically, so don't think that, oh, well, I planted that seed last week, so surely it's going to be here this week. I need it now, right? You got to give time for things to grow and things. It's the same thing as it's like here on earth. It's spiritual, though. It's a spiritual mindset, a kingdom mindset. You have to have a kingdom mindset about finances. So, what do you have to do? Getting back into my notes, all right? With finances, well, first, you must start saving and investing. Yes, investing. Investing. Put money away in a mattress isn't going to grow it. And if you do that, to me, this is a Pastor Tanis translation or theory, I guess. That's no different than the guy who took the talent the master gave him in the Bible and he just buried it in the ground. And he says, you could not at least put it in the bank and let it gain interest? Invest. Invest what you have. All right, you need to take financial classes. Learn to go deeper into finances. I'll be honest with y'all guys, I had no idea and still learning anything about finances. You know, my dad taught me what he knew. I learned from some videos here and there. But until I sat down with a friend who taught this type of stuff, I didn't know anything about finances. So I was not doing great at managing my finances. I was terrible at it. So, you know, I was like, what do you mean? I can't just get paid and go buy what I want and have money left over. What? So, yeah, so you need to take financial classes and get disciplined in financial integrity and everything like that. Get knowledgeable about money. Knowledgeable about money, you need to do that. Start thinking about money and finances differently, right? It all starts with a mindset change. There we are at the mindset change again. Let me ask you, who made a New Year's resolution about friends? Maybe you're thinking, I need to get new friends, or I want friends. I want better friends. I want godly friends. Well, you know, with today's society, a lot of us in today's society, we like to be behind the screen, not in the spotlight. It's hard for us to communicate. As a youth pastor, I've never seen a generation so unable to communicate. It's scary. It's scary because what's going to happen when you have to go, you know, interview for a job? When you have to go talk to a client or a customer, what's going to happen, right? Oh, man, that's a story for another time. Anyways, we need to get out there, though. We need to get out there where new people are. You're not going to meet new people sitting in your room. Well, I mean, I guess you can online and everything, but, you know, whatever. But you want to meet people. You want to see them, see how they are, see how they act and everything, right? See if that's a friend you want. You need to open up to people, right? You can't be closed off and expect to make new friends. It's that old saying, you attract more flies with honey, right? And you need to get out there and meet people, hang out with people, find people, you know, join a small group in your church. If your church doesn't have a small group, find another local church, not leaving that church, unless you, you know, feel called, but another church to go get involved with their small group. And just real quick, pause real quick. Listen, guys, we are all the body of Christ. We're not gangs. If you want to attend your church on Sunday, and then you go to a Bible study at another church on Tuesday, and then you have prayer service at another church on Friday, listen, that is completely fine. We're all the body of Christ. Stop making it so divisive, Lord. Hey, that is a tactic of the enemy, and we just let him do it. All right, back to my notes. You need to change your mind on how to meet people and be more friendly. Right, this one requires a mindset change and possibly overcoming a bad mindset. What's a bad mindset? Well, I'm glad you asked. You see, here's a list of a few bad mindsets that has been talked about before in social media, psychiatrists talk about and everything. So here's a few bad mindsets, and I'll break these down a little bit as I go. Loneliness and isolation. Depression. Self-hate, rejection, abandonment, fear, poverty, a victim mentality. You see, all of those are bad mindsets. I would even call them demonic mindsets. You know, we want to feel lonely and we isolate ourselves, right? That is totally contradictory to what the Word says to do. You know, we're to be around each other, lift each other up, build each other up, help carry each other's burdens. And so depression is a demonic mindset. It causes you to stop, to focus inward, and self-hate, rejection. When you self-hate, you're hating the creation God made you to be. All right, you're believing those lies of the enemy as he whispers in your ear, you're no good, you're ugly, no one will ever like you, you'll never be loved. Those are all lies, right? And we choose, it is a choice. You choose to receive those lies and make it a part of your identity when that is totally not your identity. Your identity is in Christ, a child of God. We'll get more into that later. Rejection. Maybe you've dealt with rejection or abandonment. I dealt with rejection. Rejection was a mindset I had to overcome, and it was really hard because I was always the rejected one. Now, I know some people hear this and they're like, no, you've never been rejected. I knew you. Well, I myself felt like I was rejected. And that was just a mindset. Does it make it true? Maybe not. Maybe it wasn't true. But I felt like the people I wanted to be around didn't want me. And in that, just going off the Holy Spirit right here, maybe you're trying to fit in the wrong circle. And that's why you feel rejected and abandoned. God hasn't called you to that circle. He's called you to another circle, another group of friends. People who will build you up, who will love you as you are. Not someone you feel like you have to live up to a certain lifestyle to be around or anything. So just pray about that. Abandonment. Fear. Now, fear is the root. One of the roots. All right? One of the roots of all these bad mindsets is fear. And you have a poverty mindset. Listen, I'm going to throw this out there. Love me, hate me, I don't care. If it's not a prosperity gospel, it's a poverty gospel. Okay? Now, we hear about prosperity gospel, and we're like, oh my God, it's all about making money, blah, blah, blah. No, it's about living prosperous in the Lord and living above, you know, what the world tells us, you know, we're at, or where your mind thinks you're at, right? It's living in prosperity in the Lord. The Lord wants to prosper us. Otherwise, you're living a impoverished life, and you're not called to do that, right? Doesn't mean you have to make a lot of money, have a lot of money, have a lot of nice things, but living in prosperity in the Lord, right? So that is also another episode for another time. And a victim mentality. You're always a victim. It's always someone else's fault. That's a lack of responsibility. And there is one root that connects all of these. These are all, if you imagine, different plants and limbs of a tree. And that tree is called pride. It's not my fault. It's someone else's fault. I didn't do anything. They did it. It's all their fault. That's their problem. It's never me. It's not my fault. I'm a victim. And that victim mentality can play into all of these as well. I'm broke because I'm a victim. Because I was never taught how to handle money and everything. Yeah, well, neither was I. You know, I'm abandoned because people don't like me. And I'm rejected because people don't like me. And I hate myself because no one likes me. I don't even like me. You know, I'm depressed because I'm a victim. And I'm lonely and isolated because I'm a victim, because no one likes me, and now I'm depressed and I'm rejected and I'm abandoned. I have fear and I'm broke because I'm a victim. You notice there's one common word in all that. I. It's all inward focus, right? You've got to change your mindset and stop focusing inward and start focusing outward. Y'all guys following along? Man, I hope so, because I'm trying to stay direct with this and everything. And hopefully you like this. If you do, man, please, you know, click like, share with your friends and everything. Leave notes, do whatever. If y'all have my social medias, reach out to me. I'd love to know what you think. Now, here are some other mindsets, bad mindsets: lust, greed, pride, the main one, addiction, and self-gratification. But here's the truth about all these. All right? All of these mindsets stem from lies you have adopted and accepted as truth. They stem from lies you have adopted and accepted as truth, right? They're not the truth, but you believe they are. The enemy came in and told you, and you just took it and made it a part of your identity. It's understandable, though. You see, here's where I get into the meat of this message, right? The meat. That's right. I'm just touching the buns. No. Oh, I guess I shouldn't say that. It's kind of weird. Anyways, talk about a hamburger. Okay, here we go. Moving right along. So let me ask you this. I want you to take, just listen. Listen to me as I'm talking, and I want you to just take self-inventory here. Who knows they are saved but still struggles with sin or any of these mindsets? You know you gave your life to Christ, but you're still struggling with these mindsets. Now, who would say that they do well but keep tripping over the same thing, whether it be pornography, cussing, lust of the opposite sex, or material things? You know, such. There's plenty more, but you're struggling, but you keep tripping over one thing, or the same things, maybe multiple things. Well, listen to me. I want to give you some encouragement, okay? You are okay and will overcome. You are okay and you will overcome. You will. You've already overcome. If you've given your life to Christ, you have overcome. You're a new creation. You don't have to sin. You're not bound and tied to sin. You are free from it. But something has to change. Something that wasn't addressed. All right? So listen, when you're dealing with these things, it is imperative you fight back with Scripture, the sword, right? Y'all know about the armor of God. You know, the word is the sword. Yes, you must fight back against the enemy. You see, the Bible tells us we must submit ourselves to God and then to resist the devil and he will flee. Submit ourselves to God, then to resist the devil and he will flee. You see, the word resist means to fight against, to try to stop or prevent something, such as resisting arrest. Hopefully y'all guys are not there in that predicament. To withstand, to remain strong against the force or effect of something. And to prevent yourself from doing something, to keep yourself from doing something you want to do. All right, that's the word resist, to fight against, to withstand, to prevent. But there's also this word submit. Now, I know in today's culture, in today's society, submit is like a four-letter word. I'm not submitting to anyone. I won't bow down to anyone. And that's fine, but that is pride and that is rebellion, because the Bible calls us to submit to the Lord, right? To submit to authority. Now, unless they're telling you to do something that goes against the word, then, you know, that's totally different. But the word submit means yielding to authority, to accept or yield to a superior force or to the authority or will of another person. We're talking about accept or yield to a superior force or to the authority or will of God. We're talking about God here. Submit to God, right? Now, these next two points on the word submit are rarely discussed when we talk about submission. Now, we usually talk about yielding to authority, okay? But presenting for review, right? This means to present something to another for consideration or decision. Let me expand on this for a bit. When you get these thoughts and these mindsets, are you just taking them? Or are you submitting them to the Lord in prayer for review? The thought comes, you're worthless. Okay, let me take this to my Father. Let me submit this to Him and see what He says. Father, I got these thoughts saying that I'm useless. What do you say, Father? I'm submitting it to you. Your word says I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, right? You have a purpose. right? God sent you, you sent your son just for me. Would you do that for someone who's useless? Who doesn't mean anything? No. So present it to the Father. Those bad mindsets, those thoughts, those feelings, present them to the Lord. Take them to the Lord in prayer. Oh, it reminds me of a song my grandma used to sing, but we ain't going to get into it. And then accepting something. To accept or undergo something. To yield. To accept. To accept what God's calling you to do. To accept the step He's taking, telling you to take. To accept the verdict that He gives you when you ask. Maybe you ask for something and the Lord says no. All right? You have to submit to that. Accept it. Maybe He says not right now. You have to submit to that and accept that. Maybe the Lord tells you, go and tell that lady over there that I know she's struggling with depression and I need her to know that I love her and I see her. But you're too afraid to go over there because you got a mindset of loneliness. Oh, standoffish. You're maybe too prideful. Honestly, it's pride that gets in the way of that. But no, it's not about you. And let me give you a truth real quick, guys. It's not about you, all right? It's about the will of the Father and being obedient and doing His will here on earth, right? And that sounds harsh, and I don't mean for it to be harsh, but I mean for it to be how it is. It is what it is, right? We are to submit. So, as the scripture said, submit ourselves to God, then resist the devil and he will flee. So, and there's something I can go to about that word resist in the Greek. It comes from, it's where we get our word, is antihistamine? No. Like allergy medicine, you got to take that before you go out into it, right? You got to take your allergy medicine before. It's a word, it's a big word for allergy medicine, basically. And I know I'm totally unprepared for this right now. It just totally hit me. And so, that's what that word resist in the Greek, it's New Testament, so it comes from. And that's where we get the word that is for, like, basically allergy medicine. And you have to take that before you step out outside where the allergens are, right? When stuff's going to mess with you, the dust, the pollen, the grass, the stuff like that, right? You have to take that before. So perhaps you get in your word, you get in the presence of the God, and you receive what He's got for you that day, your daily bread, Lord's Prayer. And then you step out into the world. What's going on that day? Okay, just a thought. You see, but listen, back to what I'm talking about, right? So submit to the Lord and resist the devil. All right? However, when we are saved, we are immediately given salvation, but then starts the process of sanctification. All right? So this is where I want y'all guys to find hope. All right? Not to make excuses. We don't make excuses. We don't do that here, but I want you to listen to me. Sanctification is simply this, the process of becoming holy or sacred or being set apart for a special purpose, becoming less of me and more of Him. Who? God. Who? Jesus. Set apart to do the will of my Father. Amen. See, sanctification is a process, but it's often held up by bad mindsets. These mindsets are carnal. Learned in a carnal world by a carnal world view edged in our carnal minds. You see, it's the reason why we trip up is because we need to renew our minds, our mindsets. Our mindsets are in a carnal mind, right? Maybe you get saved at 25. Well, that's 25 years of thinking carnally, learning carnally, having a carnal view, a worldly view, basically is what that means. And you have to overcome that. Now, I don't think once for one second that the Lord can't just, you know, boom, snap, and then you get saved and things, some things change, but some things you have to overcome. Some habits, some mindsets and everything, right? So, as I said, salvation is immediate. Sanctification is a process. And that process is often held up by a bad mindset. What do I mean? Well, the Lord might be calling somewhere, and you know, to come out and do something, to step into something, to a new season, whatever. And that mindset stopping you from saying yes and being obedient, submitting, right? So, hey, you may have said or asked these, right? Am I saved? I keep messing up. I love the Lord, but I keep going back to this sin. Why can I not control this? What is wrong with me? I get it. I've been there. You know, I've been there, man. It's hard. It's very frustrating, right? And then from there, you start to spiral into self-doubt. You become prideful and don't seek help, but rather you isolate yourself and beat yourself up. You start pulling away from God instead of pressing in because of shame. Does that ring a bell? God, I was doing so good, and I slipped up, and I, you know, a big one in society today is pornography. Yes, I said porn. I'm going to say sex. I'm going to talk about things like that because we're grown-ups, and if you're not a grown-up, well, it's okay because these are real-world things, and these are things that your kids are going to encounter in school, even as early as second, third grade. I've got a fourth grader. I've been through this stuff, and I've got three more behind her. Lord, help me. And so maybe you slipped up and you watched porn, right? And now you feel shameful. So instead of going to God saying, Lord, I messed up. Father, I messed up. I need help. I messed up. You pull away and you start to isolate yourself. And you start to beat yourself up, you know. An isolated lamb is exactly what the enemy wants. That is your easy game for the enemy. Well, I can resist him on my own will. No, you can't resist him on your own will. Otherwise, you would not have sinned to begin with. Right? You can't resist him. You need the grace of God in you and on your life to resist the enemy. We cannot do it in our own strength. We can push for a moment, for a season, but let me tell you something about the enemy. He is patient. All right? He's been doing this a long time too. He is patient and he knows, all right, I'll step back for a minute, give him time, and his moment that something don't go his way, the moment that something happens in his life and he just lets go of the rope, lets go of the hand of the Lord, I'm stepping in and grabbing that hand. He knows we need God's grace. We need God's grace. So let me clear something up for you though. All right. All of these things, the spiral in self-doubt, you become prideful, you don't seek help, but rather isolate yourself, beat yourself up, all that stuff we talked about, all these things. This is because of bad mindsets and lack of submission. However, be encouraged. All right? It's going to be okay. And God is not thrown off by this. God isn't sitting there like, wow, I am so ashamed. Wow, I can't believe you did that. You know, let me tell you this too, something else we need to explain, right? God's not thrown off by it. He's not thrown off by it. He's not saying, oh, wow, I can't believe he did that. I was not expecting that. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my me. I can't believe he did that. You know, he's not doing that. All right? You're not going to throw him off. So listen, let's talk about saved. All right? Your spirit is saved. Your soul, your mind, will, emotions, intellect, and body are still carnal. It takes some time to sanctify those, but it is your responsibility to do the work. The Lord will help you. The Lord will be there with you. Holy Spirit will be there with you through it and will help and help chisel away. But there is a responsibility on your part. Now, this is not to be saved. There's nothing you can do to be saved. You can't do anything in your own will other than submit, call in the name of the Lord, believe in him, and give your life to him, you know. But you can't do a work and be saved. You know, if there was something I could do to save myself from eternal hell and separation from the Father, and there's something I could do to do that and stick to it and not mess it up, then why did Jesus have to come to begin with? But there's not. We need a Savior. We are in need of a Savior, and God knew that from the beginning. And so Jesus came, gave his life for you so that you could boldly approach the Father, know him intimately, and not be separated from him, because your sin separates you from him. But when you're saved, you're covered in the blood of Jesus, right? You're sanctified. It sanctifies process, right? But you're saved. And you're good. So it's our responsibility to do the work, your responsibility to do the work. However, it starts in the mind. You see, let's get some scripture out, okay? Proverbs 23:7 tells us, "For as he, a man or a woman, thinks in his heart, so he is." It's where we get the saying, "What a man thinketh, so he is." Right? It starts in the mind. Well, I believe in my heart. That's cool. What is your mind, though? Are you talking yourself out of it? Do you believe that maybe you're sick right now? I feel this is somebody. You're sick right now, and you believe in your heart God can heal you, but your mind, you don't. You have not submitted your mind to Him. And you are just talking yourself out of receiving that blessing. It's okay. Don't be discouraged. It's going to be okay. Listen, let's get through this. It's going to be okay. You're going to be good. I promise you. The Lord loves you. He loves you. Even when you doubt, even when you mess up, He still loves you. Let me tell you a quick story real quick, guys. Just on that love real quick. Totally random. Not in my notes. My daughter. My third daughter. So second to last child. I promise you, sometimes I feel like she wants nothing to do with me. You know, she will just pitch a fit when I go to pick her up and run for me and be like, "Go away." And I'm like, "I ain't going nowhere because I love you." You know, and I give her hugs and everything. And, you know, I pick on her. I pick on all my kids. That's what a father's supposed to do, okay? It's what we do. We play with them. And so we love to play. We'll play and everything. She's my rough houser. She loves to wrestle, mess around, body slams, all that fun stuff, you know. Man, but she don't wear out. She wears me out. And it's kind of hard sometimes. I'm like, "Oh, God, I can't breathe." And so she is the one that I'll be like, "Give me a hug." And she'll go, "No," and just walk off, right? And it's that rejection, right? So glad God delivered me of that and stuff. But when she does that, I don't stop loving her. When she messes up and she doesn't listen and she's disobedient, I don't stop loving her. And she is the one that's going to cause the rest of my hair to fall out. If you see my beard and you say, "Why I got gray in his beard?" It's because of her, all right? And I love her so much. I still love her. I would still do anything and give anything for her, right? You can't make me not love her. It's my child. And if I, a rotten, dirty, carnal father, can feel that way and be that way towards my daughter, how much more does our Father in heaven love you and want you? So, Proverbs 23:7, "For as a man or a woman, this thinks in their heart, so is he." Your thoughts, your mindset, heart will either draw you close to God or close to the world. You see, you've heard the saying, there's two dogs and you fight, and whichever one you feed the most will. No, there are not two dogs inside you battling for control. When you give your heart to Christ and surrender your life to Him, the worldly dog is deceased. Your spirit is new and is God's. Rather, you must train your mind to think kingdom of God and not carnally. So here are some verses I hope you will remember and bring out to battle the enemy when the carnality starts to rise and these bad mindsets manifest. Listen, these are only a few. I encourage you to seek out more and fight with them. So here's one. Colossians 3:2. "Focus on the things above, not on things of this earth." You have to shift your focus when you're feeling overwhelmed, depressed, shame, etc. You have to shift your focus. Stop focusing inward, start focusing outward. Start having gratitude, right? Romans 12:2, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind and discern what is good and acceptable of God." You must renew your mind, as stated before, and discern what's good and acceptable to God. If the thoughts are not good and acceptable to God, then bind them and cast them out. Psalms 139:23 says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. If you know what you're feeling or thinking is not right, pray this. and let Holy Spirit guide you through the issue to a godly solution. Often in doing this, Holy Spirit will reveal areas we have not considered but need to surrender to Him. You see, you're probably like, man, I'm doing everything I know to do. Well, there's probably areas in your life you have not surrendered to Him yet. All right? And that's where these seeds and these plants of bad mindsets grow. All right? Romans 8:6. The mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Remind the enemy that your mind is governed by Holy Spirit. So you cannot be without life or peace. Isaiah 26:3. Those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you, God, will keep in perfect peace. All right, maybe you feel like you have no peace. Well, pray to have a steadfast mind and trust in Him. Remind yourself you are a child of God. And here's one of my favorite ones, 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Now, you may know that verse to say, cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you, not anxiety. But that word translated to the Greek translates to anxieties. When you're anxious, or your thoughts that cause you to be anxious creep in, remember this verse and recite it. I am a child of God, and I will not hold on to these thoughts or anxiety. And as spoken in 1 Peter 5:7, I am casting my anxieties onto the Lord because He cares for me. And then do it. You look weird. Who cares, right? Who cares? Physically put your hands by your shoulders like you're pushing something off your back and toss those cares over to the Lord, right? Drop that yoke of bondage, that yoke of anxiety. That's not yours to carry. You're supposed to carry the yoke of the Lord. His yoke is easy and His burden is light, right? So cast your anxieties onto Him. The Lord cares for you. Philippians 4:8. Think about things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy. This is a solid reminder that if your thoughts are not these things, they are a problem. To say we shouldn't consider things opposite of this, not to say we shouldn't consider things opposite of this. If I have a concern, our Holy Spirit gives me discernment about someone and I feel in my spirit they're bad, I'm not going to say, no, I rebuke these thoughts. They are not good. I'm going to consider them and pray. But if you're dwelling on the thoughts that are opposite of what was aforementioned, which was true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy, that's where the problem is. Take your thoughts before the Lord and submit them to Him for guidance and direction. He wants to be involved in your lives, people. He wants to be a part of your lives. Bring Him in on your decisions. Bring Him in on your problems. Bring Him in on your questions. Sometimes you get an answer like that. Sometimes you have to wait and be patient, but submit to Him. Right? Proverbs 3:5 and 6. This was a staple in my life. When I was going through some stuff and God really brought me out of a bad, bad, bad season. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make straight your paths. When you don't understand, are taken back by something, or just feeling stuck, remember this verse. Recite it, but make it personal. I do not understand this, but I will trust in the Lord with all my heart. And I will not lean on my own understanding. I am going to acknowledge Him in this, and He will make my path straight. Father, I acknowledge You in this, and I submit this to You, and I ask You to make my path straight, Father. Philippians 4:13. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. You may feel weak and unable to resist the enemy. Step up into the calling of God has on your life, or simply get out of bed. And you would be correct, because we can't do this on our own will, except get out of bed. I mean, we're talking mindset. If you can't get yourself out of bed, roll over, fall out of bed, you'll find a way, right? However, I know according to this verse that I can, because in Christ who gives me the strength, not in my power, but in His power, His strength. You see, when I got saved, old Tannis died. He was buried. When I got baptized, I buried that man. He did not resurrect. How can a dead man have strength? I cannot do this outside of the strength, the grace, the mercy of God. I need him. So let me conclude with this, guys. Mindsets are critical when walking out God's plan for your life. So we are often held back by a bad, worldly, carnal mindset. And we often stumble because of it. However, this does not make you unqualified or unable to be who God has called you to be or do the things he has called you to do. I could tell you countless stories of people who might consider unqualified, who, because they submitted to God, their lives, including their mindsets, were used to do historically monumental things. You see, you too can be used like this, but you must change your mindset. You must submit that mindset. You must submit to God's process of sanctification and allow Holy Spirit to address darkened areas of your life, exposing unsubmitted areas, and submit them before the Lord. So please allow me to ask you, do you mind? Do you mind if Holy Spirit comes in and reveals these things, reveals these darkened areas of your life? Do you mind if God addresses your bad mindsets, your habits? Do you mind if he chisels away the worldly things that you've held on to? Do you mind letting go? Do you mind? I really thank y'all guys for hanging out with me. That's all I got for today. I love y'all. And let me pray over y'all real quick, okay? Father God, I pray for my listeners. I pray that you bless them as they come and as they go, Father. I pray that you go before them and make the path straight, Father. I pray that you allow this little podcast, God, to touch their hearts. Let them see the mindsets that are not of you, God, but are of the world. Father, and start to change in them. Lord, I look forward to seeing people overcome habits, overcome sins, step out into what they're called to do, be emboldened because they surrendered their mind, their heart, and their lives to you, Father. They submitted them to you, Father. I thank you, Lord, for your word that encourages us and emboldens us. Lord, thank you for your spirit that teaches us, walks with us, and partners with us, Lord. We get to partner with you, rather. Yeah, we're the loving on the tone pole on this thing, right? We get to partner with you, Father. Thank you for that. Thank you for your son that came and gave his life, that overcame death, hell, and the grave, and now sits at your right hand, interceding for us, Father. Thank you, God, that you love us, you care for us, and you don't turn your back on us, Lord. And even when we fall short, even when we mess up, Lord, you have grace, you have mercy, and you love us still. And as David says in the Psalms, Lord, there's nowhere we can go to escape you. Escape that, Father. You love us. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Guys, I love y'all. Hey, don't be afraid to be a little controversial. All right? After all, we're controversial Christians. See y'all next time.